Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
God, we're going to have a great show today. Because none of us are together, and that's when we're at our best. Edition. Wait, I thought Tausch wasn't going to be on the show today because he had a baseball game at 11. Was that game moved till midnight? Edition. I'm happy for Dame time. I'm happy for him. Double dipping. Going back to Portland, can recover at his own pace. Good for Dame.
John Horst is happy too, I think.
Edition. We have a former NFLPA rep on our program, and it's not Jesse Nelson, and it's not me. What the hell's going on over there? Edition. And most importantly, Jesse thinks we're going to go through the list of 20 most important Packers. There's actually about 25 people at this point with number 2 and number 1 to go. There's no way. There's no way. Tausch, there's going to be all kinds of things that come into Tausch's
mind. When are you
mind.
Announcing your number 1? Sunday?
Sunday.
Sunday.
So Sunday. It's been a week since we reviewed the list. There's so many people about.
No, so we'll finish that on Monday then. We'll recap his Sunday article Monday, right?
I have a question. We will not recap them today. What we will do is I will ask who you think's going to be number one edition of Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all customizable.
What was that?
I don't know. Whatever that face is that Tausch thinks I keep doing, I was trying to do it on command, and now I'm not sure I can.
You are doing it. It's not that I think.
The ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Android and Apple app stores. I'm Jace Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. From his undisclosed location, which is not a baseball field today. It is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was able to do the show today, which I thought earlier this week when the initial schedule came out, I thought, oh, because I'm not going to miss, I'm not going to miss coaching a game. If it was a practice, I would miss and do the show. But for a game, I'm not going to.
Thank you for your service.
And the game got – you're welcome. The game got moved.
To midnight.
Not sure how and why, but it did. And so we have a couple tilts later this afternoon and into the evening, not midnight, that we have. And so the schedule kind of worked itself back out. So here I am.
So after you complained about the schedule on your public forum, it magically got changed sometime during the week?
Somebody's a big deal.
Yep, that's. I don't know what.
Very lucky
any
for
of
you.
That had anything. I don't think that had anything to do with it, but I don't know. And frankly, I am very happy that it did. So if that is indeed the case, kudos to me. But I don't think that's what happened.
Is Coach Mack and DeForest involved in this too? Or did he have nothing to do with it?
I think DeForest has a team down there. I don't know what Coach Mack's involvement would be with that. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're happy to have you. I mentioned Damian Lillard. So the news there, while he will still – this is not – there's no offset here, right?
No.
He gets all the money the Bucks owe him, which is $113 million. By the way, our other Bucks buddy, the more writing half of our Bucks buddy tandem on Wilde and Tausch, Eric Name, sat down with Horst in Vegas at the Summer League games and on The Athletic. A very interesting story from Eric discussing the Dame move, the signing of Miles Turner, like all the things that have gone on this offseason. It's a worthwhile read.
Why don't you text him, see if he can join us today? That'd be fun.
Eric Name?
Yeah. Shoot him
or,
a text.
Or John Horst.
Name.
Take either.
I think we can get John Horst later. I know you and John are good buddies, and I've gotten to meet John a few times. So I think it's not hyperbole to say that this trade is – at worst, one of the three worst trades in the history of the state of Wisconsin professional sports. And at best, it might be the worst of all time.
And the Ray Allen just, trade wasn't very good either.
And let me finish.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
As I also will make sure I declare, I still believe it was the right move. Because it did get Giannis to sign his extension. This promise of tandemizing with Dame for the back part of Dame's career was the right move at the time. But we are not general managers. We are analysts. And as I'm analyzing this situation, someone texted me this yesterday. I'm going to pull this up as I'm talking. The Portland Trail Blazers traded Dame Lillard to us. And in essence, what ended up happening is the Blazers now have Damian Lillard back. They have Drew Holiday, who was traded.
That hurts.
They have Bob Williams. They have Tumani Kamara, who I don't even know who that is. And then they have the Milwaukee Bucks 2029 first-round pick. And the swap of whose pick is worse or better in 28 and 30. So they basically traded Dame to get Dame back and get all of our picks, and we paid Dame all of his money, and they got the guys that we actually traded for back after they traded him again to Boston to get more pieces. Portland just pulled off the heists of heists, and the Milwaukee Bucks had, and this is just the reality of what happened. It could go down as one of the worst trades, and if Portland has an opportunity to Herschel Walkerize and Mike Lynn John Horst. That's what Portland has the opportunity to do.
Didn't they also get David Putney in this deal?
Good one. I don't know. I don't know.
Come on.
That's you're what talking I get? About the special teams guy? The special teams guy.
And I want David blank and Putney, too.
Hey, let me tell you something. They got everything they wanted. They got money. If you would have said they also got all their free soda in their building, I would have said, oh, that's because that, in essence, they got everything. They're going to get Dame. Now, again, he's 3 years older and 4 years older with a ruptured Achilles. So I can't think of a worse trade when I analyze the results than what we just saw. Help me, because the bad part of this is, I hate to break this to us. It's only 2025. You're talking about 3 years, and Giannis has got 3 years left on his deal. We don't know how many more years he's going to play with us. We hope forever, but let's say things go south, or as Windy and a lot of the national folks, there's still a chance this offseason. I don't believe that, but there's still those little whispers. there's going to be potential for first, second, third overall. Like, the Bucks could be really bad in 28, 29, and 30. And then this trade looks even worse. All of a sudden, they're getting Cooper Flagg or a Cooper Flagg clone. Oh, what the heck are we going to be saying then?
One of the Knipple boys that aren't in high school yet or something, yes.
So this has a chance. And I hope this doesn't happen. This could be the Mike Lynn, Herschel Walker operation to Rip City. That's how bad this potentially was. And this just ended up being a really bad trade.
Would you say that it is now worse than Ray Allen to the Seattle Supersonics for a largely washed Gary Payton and Desmond Mason? And I believe Ray Allen goes on to win not one but two NBA titles, right? One with the Celtics, one with the Heat. He is a basketball Hall of Famer. Or if he's not yet, he will be. I guess I don't remember if he's already been inducted.
Sure.
That was pretty bad. There's the infamous In Packers lore, obviously, it's the John Hadle trade, which they called the Lawrence Welk trade because they gave up a one, a two, a three for a washed up. I didn't invent that. That's what folks much older than me called it back in the 70s when the trade was made.
But by the way, Ray Allen was inducted in 2018 into the Naismith Hall of Fame.
That's what I thought. All right, I got to trust my instincts.
Yeah, so but Mike, the Ray Allen trade is not even in the same ballpark.
Ray Allen was in his prime when they traded him, right? Yeah. He was, what, 27?
Oh, it was a god-awful trade. George Karl lost his job because of that trade.
He did.
That's just dumb. That is a I know better than you, and it's like Gary Payton's old, man. He ain't a shooter like Ray. Ray wanted to be in Milwaukee. Ray embraced Milwaukee.
He sure did.
That was a really bad trade, and George Karl, to his credit, lost his job because he made that god-awful move, and that's okay. But this, I don't think we know what the wreckage of this is going to end up looking like yet. Now, if you end up getting another championship out of it before, like the Drew Holiday trade, we're giving all those picks to New Orleans, worth it. Worth it, worth it, worth it. Mm-hmm. Hanging a banner's worth it.
Yeah.
Getting a first-round exit and then paying $150 million and having to gut a lot of your roster and then losing all your draft picks when you're probably going to be not very good, it ain't going to be worth it.
So my question is, because you were Dame time, tapping on your watch.
I was wrong.
No, but I... But again, the point you made was an excellent one, that it made Giannis feel, hey, we're really trying to do something here. It did not, he did not lose his preferred running mate. Like, I'm not saying he doesn't love Drew Holiday and that they didn't have a great relationship. They did. But Chris Middleton was his guy, and he didn't give up Chris Middleton in that trade, although he probably should have. And you got him to re-sign, and everything was hunky-dory. Now, yep. I guess my question for you, much like Back to the Future 2, which is not as good as 1.
Electric Boogaloo?
And
is that
better,
Electric Boogaloo, or is that?
Yeah, Breaking, yeah. And is better than 3, even though Aaron Rodgers claims that Back to the Future Part 3 is the best of the franchise. In Back to the Future 2, they've got this like alternate 1985 that they've created because Biff's got the sports almanac and he wins all the money. They have on a chalkboard, Dr. Brown, for you young folks, draws this alternate reality line, the timeline, and then they have to find the place where everything changed. Let's go back to the playoff game against Indiana.
Okay.
If Damian Lillard, and I understand there's been a rash of these, including to Indiana, and their best player, Tyrese Haliburton. Or you can think Siakam's better, but Haliburton's
their best player. Okay.
If he doesn't rupture his Achilles in that game, because again, reading his interview with Eric Name, they were basically, if they didn't do what they did with Damian Lillard, stretching it out and going to get Miles Turner, they're cooked, right? They're taking a gap year or two. They were still going to owe Damian Lillard the money, and they were going to have to pay it over this year and this coming year and next year. So let's just say he doesn't blow his Achilles out. Okay. What does the alternate reality of right now look like? Because they're not going to get Miles Turner. He's still playing. You're hoping that that tandem is going to work out, but we'll never know about this trade. And for you to say, and I think you're right in saying because of the results, what has happened, but I don't know, Damian Lillard, when they were on the court together, it did seem to work. Okay. But there were so many different variables changing the coach repeatedly that I just don't know. I would love to know what this would have looked like if this had gone to completion. Maybe it goes nowhere. But like 2 years ago, they were both hurt during the playoffs. Is that not correct? Giannis missed all of that series and Dame then left midway through the series, right? This year,
sounds right.
He blows out his Achilles and it's basically Giannis and the Pips trying to get it done against the team that made the NBA Finals. Don't you wonder that, or do you not live in that hypothetical world?
No, you can wonder all you want, but the bottom line is you're judged on the results of what decisions you make. Again, I have no problem with the decision John Horst made. It was bold. It turns out it wasn't beautiful. And that's okay. That's the way it goes. And you're judged on that. These next couple of years, I think what he did this offseason should be applauded, because that is a painful thing to go to an ownership group and say, I blanked up. This is unfortunate how this worked. I need you to write a $113 million check to get rid of somebody so that we can bring in another guy. And most people think we overpaid for Turner. And we're going to pay him $28 million a year. So, yeah, that's what I need. And is that going to bring us closer to a championship? Well, it at least keeps us in the mix. Imagine having that conversation with your boss. Probably not that easy. But that's what happened. So he has made the best of a bad situation. And I don't know where that's going to lead the Milwaukee Bucks moving forward. But what I do know is, you judge this trade off of the results of what you got, and you got two first-round exits, a big fat check, and a stretch of a lifetime in the NBA of paying somebody 5 years off $113 million. That's going to limit what you can do moving forward, but at least you tried. You didn't just throw in the towel. You know, Chili always told us don't confuse effort with results. That's right. His effort is great. John Horst's efforts have been great. He has tried 100 different ways. You talk about swinging for the fences and what the Brewers maybe get criticized for.
Yeah.
Well, the Bucks are done at the exact. You literally have the complete opposite ends of the spectrum, and then Green Bay's kind of in the middle. You got the Bucks pushing their chips in constantly, and you know what? You got your one championship. This debate we always have about stinking. Well, there's a good chance come 2028, 2029, we're going to probably be looking at it like, remember that championship, though? That's 10 years ago. But you all said, give me a championship 10 years. The Packers keep doing it how I like it. Keep building young. Build, build, build. Give yourselves 100 bites at the apple. Eventually, you're going to taste that sweet nectar. Now, it's 15 years. Time for a little nectar. Bucks got their nectar. When are the Brewers going to get their nectar? Are they going to go? That's the beauty of this. That's why we have jobs, because it's fun to analyze it. But the Bucks, that apple sucked to the core. And it looked beautiful on the outside. They took a bite out of it, and it was worm infested.
Worm in
and now, yeah. And then you got to fire it away, and you got to look and say, well, there's a seedling tree over there. That's all we got. Let's go get that. Hopefully that blossoms into something, and we can make an apple pie. And that's hopefully the goal that ends up happening with this Turner and this stretch, is to get yourself an apple pie. That's where we're at.
So is Miles Turner a seedling?
He is not a seedling, but he's not a fully developed apple tree yet.
He's in like year 10, isn't he?
Is he the forbidden fruit that we need to go to win a championship?
Oh, now we're going.
We'll find out.
Now we're going Adam and Eve. I didn't see that twist coming. In our orchard of NBA talk. All right, well, we've got a lot to get to today. I want to make one quick correction before we do. James, in the YouTube comments for ESPN Madison, the Hadle trade was even worse than I realized, because it's been a while. It was, but this is what Lawrence Welk would say. It was a 1, a 2, a 1, 2, 3. So it was 2 1s, 2 2s, and a 3. Mm. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. So there's your luck. There was your luck. Did you see that? Jesse, did you see it?
I have to run that back.
I missed it. I was taking a phone call. Sorry.
All right. Is the Damian Lillard trade, given the results, you're threading a pretty small needle here, right?
In what regard?
Because on the one hand, the guy who did this, what was that, about a month or two before the trade happened? Maybe even more than that.
It was after we got beat in, was that the hot potato game? Hot potato game,
I said we can't
live like this. You can't have five professional athletes looking like a basketball as a steaming hot potato you can't touch at the end of a game. Can't happen. I know Dame. I'll say this. Dame, he loved hot potatoes. Bring it. He had oven mitts that were – he wanted that pill at the end of a game.
So, yes. So as the person who wanted that trade to happen, and much like Kissin' Cousins, the headline that led into the Packers-Vikings tie, it was a brilliant call by you. You've had a lot of those over the years. At the same time, you are arguing that it was the right move at the time.
Yep.
But based on the results, it may have been the worst trade in the history of Wisconsin sports.
That is correct. Now, this John Hadle trade, I'm not going to, that, as Homer says, that's Old Testament.
Sure.
I don't know enough. It's obviously, it was a bad trade. But what I'm saying is there is a chance that you already gave up all those picks for Drew, and you know what? Banner, we're good. Anybody that wants to argue that, this part of it, we don't even know how bad this is going to be yet. There could be a Wemby or a LeBron or someone of that ilk that could be coming to Cream City, and we're going to be sending them to Rip City because of this apple, sour apple that ended up coming through.
Worm infested, yeah, indeed. Well, if you've got a lot of apple trees or maybe some seedlings out your back window, make sure it's a Pella window from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, so you'll have a beautiful view of your orchard.
Not bad. Not bad. And not bad. Oh, it's real good. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. For windows with strong resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center, it lets you see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and door options. And from 7 different Pella lines all side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you get 0 interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
844-770-3776. I know we've got Barry in Milwaukee already on hold. But with how this Damian Lillard story has now played out, it is like draft day. It is. You give up all these draft picks. You're demanding Putney back. The Trailblazers did what Kevin Costner
did. There's an assistant, Prunty. You could say Prunty instead of Putney, and it would actually fit even more. All right, we want that, and we want your assistant, Prunty. All right, see ya, Prunts.
So is this the worst trade ever in Wisconsin sports history? I'm still biased. You traded away a Hall of Famer who was in his prime for a washed Gary Payton, and it cost a guy who took your team to the 7th game of the Eastern Conference Finals. It cost him his job. And George Karl admitted it was a colossal mistake. He came on our show years ago and said that. So, again, That was not a trade, though.
That one there, hey, Jason, the difference there is that one had no business ever even. Like, that comes up, and you look at it like, no, nobody on earth would make that trade.
Yeah.
I think most of us saw the vision. Nobody saw it but George, and, of course, George was dead wrong.
Yeah, it's the opposite of what you just did with the Damian Lillard trade. Mm-hmm. It was a bad idea when you made the trade, and then it turned out even worse.
Correct.
As opposed to this trade, which it was a good idea at the time, and it turned out even worse.
But like George always said, you know, these things, the series doesn't start till somebody wins a road game.
What does that have to do with the trade?
That has nothing to do with the trade. You just wanted to sneak that in.
He did.
No, because it's a really dumb quote, too. That's why.
I love that
quote.
So
it's a dumb trade and a dumb quote.
I couldn't disagree with you more. What I can agree on is this is an interesting topic, and we want your thoughts on the Carbless Talk and Text line. 844-770-3776. It's a good thing we don't have Bulaga or Evan Cohen coming on today at 925 already. 844-770-3776. Worst trade ever? We'll take your thoughts next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
All right, we'll get to the phones in a second. And I have reached out to our pal Eric Name to talk about his story on The Athletic.
I got a lot of stuff on my mind today. I don't think I'm going to be able to get everything off my mind in the three-hour show today. We might need to do 4 hours today. We might.
So I assume first pitch in your game is not then at 1 o'clock either?
No, but it's close to that. I just got a lot of stuff.
Live from the dugout.
For being the 18th of July, which is typically slow.
Any chance you could write it down so we could use it next week?
No, because it's all timely. Jason, it's all timely.
It's not.
I have a proposal.
Yeah.
Now, I got a proposal. I'm not going to get to it now, but I will get to it in the 10 o'clock hour. That I think makes so much sense, it might blow both your minds. That's my tease. So continue.
I just want people to understand. I'm not complaining. I've got a great job. I love my life.
Sounds like you're going to, though.
There are challenges that go with working with a genius.
Talent.
There just are.
I'm not a genius.
You are. I'm not asking you. I'm not telling you that to butter you up. You are a genius, but as many geniuses are, they're a little bit unpredictable.
Wacky.
And so there are moments that are challenging, but you, again, talent outs. So does genius. Like, your dad didn't call you a genius, but he did say talent outs. And so does being a genius. But can't you? There's got to be ways to write this stuff down. Like, or tell
it's
old
not,
girl.
Yeah.
She can write them down. No.
All right, we're good. I have. I got some.
No, we're
stuff
not good.
Now, so
we're not
just
good.
Need a
I
four
still
hour
have,
show.
I still have not. Tausch. I still have Tausch prank calls written on this piece of paper on my desk in here.
Let me write this down.
Never
right,
got
go
to
ahead.
That. All right, let's
from
go to the phones. 844. Don't use that thing. You'll push the button. It'll be gone.
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk.
That's what
no
geniuses
doubt.
Do. They take risks. Let's go to the phones, 844-770-3776. Worst trade ever? Let's talk to Barry in Milwaukee. Barry, thanks for holding on. We appreciate you, buddy. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Love the show. It's an honor to talk to you guys. I forgot all about the Hadel trade. H-A-D-L. John Hadel to Harold Jackson. Great combination. It was a good trade at the time for the Rams. But the Lillard trade... I was devastated when we got rid of Drew. I couldn't believe it when I saw the owner hugging Lillard like he was a fan, a huge fan. Because what we gave up, we just won the title, and now we got this score, and that was it. I couldn't believe it. It was my Doncic trade. I was devastated. Huge loss for the Bucks. I couldn't believe it. He was jumping up and down like a fantasy football guy. He got his fantasy guy.
So, Barry, because you're old enough to remember the Hadel trade, then my question is, what did you think when they traded Ray Allen? Because, look, I obviously live with someone who Drew Holiday is her favorite player. She's got her picture with him. She got to meet him. Sydney loves Drew Holiday. She was more devastated.
Paula did.
No, she went to a Coldplay concert with Drew, and Lauren Holiday was less than pleased.
Wow.
No,
that was a joke I didn't even feel comfortable making to you. So I'm glad you
well,
did.
That's, well, what did you say Paula for then? Anyway, we're that's wasting good. Barry's time.
Yes.
How did you feel about the Ray Allen trade? Because the way Sydney felt about the Drew Holiday trade was the way I felt about the Ray Allen trade, and I was covering the team at the time.
He didn't want to play here either.
No, he did.
Peyton didn't want to come here.
Peyton didn't. Yeah, you're right about that.
He didn't want to come to Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. He didn't want to come to Milwaukee, just like nobody wanted to come to Green Bay back in the day. Nobody wanted to play in Green Bay before Reggie came and Brett came.
It's true.
Yep. Nobody wanted to come to Green Bay. They didn't want to come to Green Bay.
Yep. Barry, great call. We appreciate it. Maybe here's the lesson. Don't trade for people that don't really want to be here.
Yeah, you want volunteers, not hostages.
Yeah.
The George Karl, Gary Payton trade was dumb. When I first heard the rumor of it, I was like, this is really dumb. Don't do it. And I wish somebody would have gotten in his ear that, you know, he trusted. Just that was so idiotic. Everybody and their brother knew that was a god-awful trade. This one, while the results are worse, this one, Dame didn't want to be here. And I think that is a lesson, Jason, that I think everybody's trying to figure out. But when you're a small market team, you got to take some swings. Because they're, you have Giannis as that drawing card, and you have to utilize that era. John Horst found a way to do it, and he got Dame while he at first was reluctant. I actually give Dame credit. He wasn't petulant when he got here. He worked. He tried his best, and it just didn't work. But it wasn't as if he was pouting and, you know, being a huge baby about it. And if he was, at least he kept it behind closed doors. I don't know. Gary Payton, we knew from the jump, wasn't. It was just that was one of those, you have unforced errors in life. That was one that you saw coming, and you thought you knew more than everybody else, because I know Gary Payton. Well, you know what, George? You didn't, and that was a disaster on a bunch of fronts. I actually feel sicker about that one than this, because this was injury and blank happens type of deal.
Mm-hmm. And then he added Anthony Mason to the mix. That was a terrible idea. Yeah, that was a disaster, no doubt about it. We'll get to some of your text messages on the Carbless Talking text line next, 844-770-3776. I do, James, who helped me out with the specifics of the Hadle trade, says, food for thought as far as disastrous trades. Dirk Nowitzki and Pat Garrity. For tractor trailer, the Mavs then flipped Garrity to role players. That was one of those prearranged trades that they do in the NBA.
They weren't drafting Dirk.
Right.
Exactly.
The only team that really knew about Dirk, or was at least that ahead of the curve on Dirk, was the Mavericks, because Don Nelson did such a – he was ahead of his time in scouting European players. But, yeah.
And he was great with Farm Aid with Willie Nelson. And he was great with Farm Aid with Willie, too. He was. Don Nelson. Great advocate for the farmers. I just remember my dad and they used to do that Farm Aid to help farmers in the state of Wisconsin. I loved that fact about Donnie Nelson. Don Nelson, not his kid, Donnie. So.
Okay. It's true.
What's
he was
so
very helpful to farm. No, I'm just going back to. You knew I was talking about Sydney. You tried to be funny with Paula, and then I took it a step too far, and then it was on me.
He was telling a sentimental story, and you're like laughing at him. Farm Aid.
Farm
Aid. Brings him back to the days.
Live Aid. If you need legal aid, call Gruber Law Offices. One call. That's all. I texted David after Paula and Maddie were rear-ended in Madison because I didn't know what to do. They do. They've handled hundreds and thousands of cases involving car accidents. They are the experts in their field, so there is only one call to make. And hopefully you never have to make it. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices, one call. That's all. We'll get to some of your text messages next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Don't ever see you sober. Wait to see what else is on Tausch's mind that he will get to today, saying that we might need a fourth hour of the show. He's got so much material.
Just for the record, we don't and we won't, but we could.
I understand. Some of us got places to be.
We all knew you weren't sticking around for a fourth hour.
I'm not. So just so everybody knows, if I may say something for a moment, I will be out at the Dane County Fair this afternoon after
milking
our show
cows?
Wraps up. I'm not milking cows, but I am hosting the ESPN Madison Announcer Experience at the Dane County Fair. Where people of all ages, including kids, can come up and you can call the Valley Oop from the 2021 NBA Finals at our ESPN Madison booth. And then we're going to put a video together.
What would be
it's
really
pretty cool.
Fun?
Tausch is going to improve this concept now, by the way.
You should invite Matt LePay to join you out there today. How fun would that be? You and LePay out at the county fair doing the oop.
You know who you should invite? Don Nelson, because he did a lot of things for farmers.
Yeah, that would be good.
I don't get what's funny about that, though.
It's not funny at all. I found it humorous.
Oh, I just saw you laughing.
Clowns are funny.
Yeah, it was.
Clowns are funny. How about Mike, the wedding DJ? Is he? What's he? He could come out there. You guys
could
really
come out. Yeah, anyone's welcome to come out to the Dane County Fair. Beautiful day to be out at the fair today. So come on out and find us.
Have you ever called that play yourself? Because I'd love to see what the gold standard is that these folks will be trying to live up to.
I will give it a shot while we're out there. That'll be part of our YouTube compilation that we put together. So I'll definitely do my version of it, and we'll see what else happens. But kids of all ages, parents. Grandparents, whoever you are, come on up and enjoy the announcer
Riley
experience
Yauch?
Today. He's got a doctor, so he was supposed to be out there with her. Chrissy's coming out with her with me to help facilitate the group, so we'll have fun.
Great. In the interim, do you have some text messages before you're at the Dane County Fair?
Yes, Joe and Madison. The trade is bad, but this latest news doesn't really change how good the Bucks are going to be for the coming season. That's kind of obvious, right? But does it just make it feel worse, I guess, is what Joe's saying?
I don't want to speak for Tausch here, but my belief is the fact that he wound up going back to the team that traded him, and that team got all the assets, and they also reacquired Drew Holiday, who they was part of that whole three-team trade, and he kind of had the same era with the Blazers as Sam Decker had with the Bucks, right? It was like 45 minutes. That's what makes it feel worse. Like, he did go out and get another $42 million three-year contract with the team that has all their picks that they acquired him from. It just feels like, one of those things, hey, what's that on your shirt? Boop! And now they've got Damian Lillard back on their team, and the Bucks have nothing to show for it other than $113 million that they still owe him.
So this is this would be the analogy I would go with. Private equity comes and buys a really nice business. Let's say it's an HVAC business. They go in and they pay a 6x multiple, which is what the Bucks paid when you start looking at draft picks and money. And then they come in and they don't know how to manage it, and the business falls off. So they reacquire it, basically what Portnoy did with Barstool. He got it back for a buck. This is the Portnoy Barstool deal that the Portland Trailblazers just had. It literally is the exact same thing. And does that make you feel good if you're a fan of Barstool? Sure. Does it make you feel good if you're a fan of whatever that gambling company was? Probably not. In this case, the Milwaukee Bucks were the gambling company, and Portland was the Barstool company. That's what just happened.
Jesse, what other text messages do you have?
This is an interesting one from Steven Greenfield. The Bucks swung for the fences, and they missed. which is a lot more than I can say for the Packers.
Ooh, sick burn, bro.
Is that true?
I still don't know how people can say that the early, you know, 2020, 2021, that this team didn't swing for the fences. I can't get my head wrapped around that concept. But did the Bucs take bigger swings with Giannis than Ted and Goody did with Aaron Rodgers? Yeah. But I'll tell you what was a pretty big swing. You know, it was a pretty big swing. Drafting Jordan Love. And knowing you're going to irritate your MVP quarterback,
but you know that's come on, you know that that's not what we're talking about here. And also,
what are we talking about?
And in fairness to Stephen Greenfield, they used free agency in 2019 to fill gaping holes at multiple positions, which is, as we have learned, the Goody way. If you want to say they took swings and they swing for the fences. 20 and 21, they did nothing of the sort. They didn't add anybody. Now, was their cap situation a part of that? Sure, but as we've learned, the cap is largely a fallacy, right? Because eventually you just do all this maneuvering, and there's no second apron and all the other stuff in the NBA. You figure out ways to make it work. And they did not do further things to add to their team, right? Now they still had success. Right? But the fact of the matter is that you can't, you have to understand where fans are coming from on this. Their argument is they didn't swing for the fences. Drafting Jordan Love when you went to the NFC Championship game the previous year is not swinging for the fences to try and win a title after you lost to the 49ers in Santa Clara. It's just not. It was bold, it was gutsy, but it wasn't that. It just wasn't.
Yeah, I guess the NFL is obviously different than the NBA. And you could say, well, you didn't go sign OBJ for $3 million bucks? Was that a trade for him? Was that swinging for the fences?
They went to back-to-back NFC championship games. Here are the Packers 2021, so heading into the 21 season, which, again, they had the number one seed in the NFC, the most important number one seed in NFL history.
That's what I heard.
Here's what they did in free agency. They let Raven Green sign with Tampa Bay. They re-signed Chandon Sullivan as a restricted free agent. They let Lane Taylor leave for the Texans. They signed a guy who I don't even remember named Will Redmond. They re-signed him. They re-signed Mercedes Lewis to a one-year deal. They re-signed Tyler Lancaster to a one-year deal. They re-signed Aaron Jones. That was important. They re-signed Kevin King. They signed long snapper
Joe Fortunato. TJ Watt, am I right?
They re-signed long snapper Joe Fortunato. And they re-signed backup quarterback Tim Boyle. They watched Corey Linsley leave for the Chargers.
That stuff's all cute.
Jamal Williams leave for Detroit. Montrevious Adams leave for New England. They did not. They didn't do anything to make themselves even better and take a swing at a Super Bowl title. They didn't.
My point is, Jason, this is what's so irritating, and I'm not sitting here trying to compare what the Bucs did and the Packers. It's night
and day.
But
that's literally what the text was about, man.
The Bucs, yes, but you're acting like the Packers sat on their hands, did nothing. And then you just reiterated it by saying, Chris Redmond, you look at what they did, and all you're trying to do as a general manager is, how can I position my team to win a championship? That's it. And you got home blanking field advantage in the one seed in the whole dang league. What else do you want Goody to do? So you can argue and say, well, you should have picked up this guy. And my point to you was they went a different route when they brought in Veldheer and Rick Wagner, and they tried to solidify in a veteran way, which is what you're doing at that point in a season. That's what you do.
So the Bucks swung for the fences by getting Damian Lillard, and what Goody did was he brought in Jared Veldheer and Rick Wagner.
Yeah. And he just re-signed Aaron Jones. that's the part of this that you always leave out. When you draft well, you sign your own guys. You don't go like you did in 19 and sign four guys to Bonco deals. So, yes, I'll say the Bucks take bigger swings, no doubt about it. And the by the way, I am not saying you can't criticize Goody for not swinging more for the fences. I'm not saying that. But last year, 2 years ago, I guess it was last year, Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs were fence swinging. And did that bring you a championship? It didn't. Was that still swinging for the fences? Or is that you write that off? That's my point, Jason.
I don't write that
there
off
are
at
years
all.
You can do that, and then there's years you can't. And all you're trying to do as a GM is saying, how can I get my team in a position to win a championship?
You just
said, I don't know, getting the one seed and having all home games is kind of doing that.
Or you're one I always use the Jimmy Graham example. Terrible signing. Terrible. But they won a game against Seattle in the playoffs that they would not have won if he wasn't on the team. He was a huge piece that day. So it's possible.
Which was the game? Game Bulaga was filling his pants and Valdir had a play? Which game was that? He was sick.
Wait. I was going to say.
When Brian couldn't play.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and look.
Remember,
he had
a flu. He couldn't keep it down. And Valdir stepped up and started. And they won that game. You're going to say that that wasn't a big sign? Because it's literally the exact same thing.
It's
what is? One game, one moment, one player.
Are you
right?
Are you really comparing Jared Valdir to Damian Lillard? Is that what's happening?
No, I'm not. I'm comparing it to the Jimmy Graham impact that Jason's talking about. Valdir, can make an argument had a pretty good impact too.
But they didn't. They went to back-to-back NFC Championship games.
Yeah.
And they didn't add anyone to that team. And they had the number one seed, but maybe you don't know that one signing might have been the difference. They pluck Rasul Douglas, credit to Goody, off of the practice squad of the Arizona Cardinals, and they go to Arizona. And by the way, any of those games that they won that they could have lost would have been the difference between them making the playoffs in 2023 and not. And he plucks Rasul Douglas off the practice squad, and then they go to Arizona, and he intercepts the ball in the end zone that they would have lost the game had he not intercepted the ball, had A.J. Green or whoever it was caught the ball. So, yes, those things matter, and my point is not that Jared Feld here wasn't vital that day when Bulaga was sick. He was. But in 2021, when you've won the back-to-back NFC championship games and your quarterback is on the cusp of winning his fourth MVP, they didn't do that one extra move, and I don't know what it would have been. That was the year that they got the middle linebacker, Devondre Campbell, for a song. Another great move. He deserves credit for that. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve credit, but the text was explicitly about swinging for the fences. And whether you agree or disagree with the Packers' approach, they don't do it. And we went through this. They signed Josh Jacobs because they whiffed on A.J. Dillon. They signed Xavier McKinney because they whiffed on Darnell Savage. Good that they rectified their mistakes. Goody deserves credit for that. But the point, no, don't do that. The point that the text, this is all about the text that was sent. And that is when they're on the cusp of winning something, they don't swing for the fences and make a big move. Signing those two guys last year, they were not on the cusp of winning a title.
Well, I don't understand what's swinging for the – is Harold Green swinging for the fences? Because he makes a huge play in the Super Bowl. What does – when you sign
you
a guy to a max
–
hold up one second. No, I don't know. Because what does
acquiring
constitute
Trey
it?
Hendrickson would be swinging for the fences.
To me, acquiring Xavier McKinney was swinging for the fences. You have to pay him top dollar. Josh Jacobs, out of nowhere, you sign him. That's swinging for the fences, Jason. It's not always middle of the season. Is that the only time you can swing for the fence?
It's not,
is that the trade deadline?
No.
When
no
is
one
it?
Said that. No.
Is Aaron Banks a swing for the fence guy this year?
No.
I just want to know what constitutes, in your mind, what swinging for the fences is.
Swinging for the fences. Going all in. Win now. All those things are, you are on the precipice of winning a title. You just made the line about the nectar thing, and they haven't tasted the nectar in 15 years, right?
Yep.
Like, swinging for the fences would be, we went to back-to-back NFC Championship games. We should have won that game at Lambeau against Brady. We picked him off three times. I'm not going to go through this again. I don't care if I have to mortgage more of the future. I'm going to go get player X. I don't know who was available at the time. I don't want to relitigate 2021 free agency. My point is, and again, it's not my text message. I'm just trying to explain to you the way that fan and other fans, I think, was it Joe that said that?
You feel Greenfield, the same way, Steve. Though, obviously.
No,
you
no.
feel this way.
I am saying
how do
that
you
if
feel?
You are, that I think Goody's approach lacks enough veterans to help all the young guys that he wants to be battling and competing to be successful. I think you need a few more veteran players that can teach guys so they're not all learning on their own how to be leaders and how to be pros. They have two guys that are 30 years old at this point. Brandon McManus and Matt Orzech. I think that is too far over the line of we don't want guys who are 30. They won't give Elgton Jenkins any sort of guaranteed money into 2026 because they want the flexibility to say, hey, thanks for moving to center. We don't think you're worth the money we owe you, so we're going to play somebody else there. This is what Goody believes, and that's fine. He's the GM. I don't agree. I think you need some older pieces. I think those things matter. I'm not saying that they didn't have a good team in 21, but when someone texts in that the Bucks swung for the fence, and by the way, struck out swinging, and the Packers haven't done it and have been in position every year to try and go chase a championship, doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. If anything, swinging for the fences leads to more strikeouts. But if you're a fan and you would like to see them do that when they're close, I think that's a reasonable position. That's all I was trying to say.
Yeah, I still, and here's the problem I have, is I don't understand what swinging for the fences means in your eyes. I understand, to me, the only blatant example I can see is Odell Beckham Jr. The Rams pick him up, they win a championship, Green Bay doesn't. That, to me, all right, now that makes sense, but you just said all these veteran players. I just listed Green Bay has always went young. And by the way, they're right most
not
of the time
to
when
this
they do
degree.
That.
Not even with Ted did they go to this degree.
All I'm saying is, and you guys laugh at me when I mention it, Valdir and Rick Wagner, they went older to have those veterans in case something happens to D-Bock or Blue or whomever. That's the road they went down. And yes, it's not the sexiest. I don't know. I can't get anyone to tell me. If you can't tell me that swinging
you.
For the
I
fences.
I already told you.
Hold up.
Trade
you
for
did,
Trey Hendrickson. That would be swing. You're telling me that our fans would not say, oh, my God, Goody's swinging for the fences. He just added Trey Hendrickson.
TJ Watt.
Yes, of course that would be.
Okay, well, you
yes.
want to know what that is. That's it. It
but
sure
I just
as hell
said
ain't
they
Jared
did that
Belzier.
With Xavier McKinney. You did that with Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs, and you roll your eyes like, no, that's because they missed with A.J. Dillon.
No, that's not. They weren't on the precipice
literally what you just
of winning
said.
A okay, we need to take a break. They were not did when the Packers signed Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, who have been outstanding signings, and Goody nailed them both. I said to Goody's face that they were home runs, and I said those were more like grand slams. So I acknowledge they were home run grand slam signings. Were they on the precipice of a title when they did it? Yes or no?
Yes.
No, they're
yes.
not. You thought,
Jason,
you thought the
year,
2023 team was on the precipice
the
of winning the Super
before,
Bowl last year.
The year before they have the team that goes to the Super Bowl on the ropes at their place? You don't think they're on the you don't think that's why he signed those guys? Because he thought they're on the precipice?
No, I don't think
no, I'm
so.
Serious.
You no, thought that he has a 3 to 5 year plan. I don't think he thought necessarily
oh,
that
he's
signing
got a
them
plan.
Meant they were going
to the delicate genius has a plan. Oh. No. I think he got this whole thing, Jordan Love starting, the way that season ended, I do think there was some uncertainty about where they were. When they went and beat Dallas and had San Fran on the ropes, you heard urgency, you heard let's make sure we don't get fat and happy, and they went out and swung for the fences by picking up a younger running back and getting rid of one of the biggest fan favorites in 30 years in Aaron Jones. You don't think that's a swing for the fence, big, bold move? And in the same respect, signing Xavier McKinney to the highest contract at safety? That's what I don't – that's the disconnect I'm having with you on this. And it's not bad or mean. It's just how I feel. That is swinging for the fences.
Agree to disagree. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
We're on the Badgers.
The schedule, as we all know, it's very challenging, daunting, however you want to describe it.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
He wants guys who want to jump at the opportunity to play against a schedule like that.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
We'll get to some of your texts and your YouTube comments on this subject coming up in the 10 o'clock hour. Right now, you can swing for the fences, though, with the Steinhoffel's Double Up and Save big sale, which starts today. You'll get 10% off store-wide, and here's the kicker. Double your savings with an extra 10% off when you buy two or more furniture pieces. Plus, you'll get up to $300 in Steinhoffel's cash when you purchase select mattresses. Steinhoffel's, Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader, so shop now in-store or online at steinhoffels.com. We'll start the 10 o'clock hour in 2 minutes, so stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.